your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio@star88.fm.
Good morning and welcome to the all-new Shock Therapy Live on the all-new Star 88. I am the all-new Steve-O with the all-new Teo and the all-new Pastor Nate Heitzig.
I think you've got some all-new drugs in your system.
what's nuts. What's all new about it? Besides the music.
The intro?
Which, you know what? I like this music. It makes me want to dance a little bit because you got some Fall Out Boy going on.
I know what you did there. About? What are you talking about?
I know what you did there.
Come on, that's good.
Hear that?
That's good, right?
Is this
Do you like that intro?
I am the opposite of
Steve-O and Teo, and we are here.
I don't know the words to that song.
I don't either. It's Shock Therapy Live. Welcome to it. And yeah, we're pretty stoked, dude.
Have you ever realized how egotistical that song is?
Yeah.
No.
We've been here forever.
Dude, that's why it's a sports thing. Think about it. That's why it made so much.
It amps you up.
They play it before every game.
Yeah.
It gets you
stoked.
It's
because it's like, yo, I'm the greatest person in the world.
I'm going to go down in history.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder if Fall Out Boy realizes that when they're gone, no one's going to be singing their songs.
Mm. You know, they were gone for a solid decade there and then kind of resurrected.
Yeah, they came back.
Like a phoenix.
No, actually, if you listen, they had like a hit.
Yeah.
Every CD, they had a couple hits.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of resurrecting, this last Sunday, Easter Sunrise Service, amazing. We launched a brand new radio
station.
That
was a Jesus juke.
That was.
Because you almost went to, speaking of resurrection, Jesus resurrected.
No, I was going to talk about resurrecting a new radio station if you'd let me get there.
Yeah, but you should never use the word resurrection in Easter because people only think of one thing.
Star 88's launch?
No.
Oh. Dang. That was close.
Okay.
Did you just try to say that Star 88's more important than Jesus?
No, dude!
Is that what you just said?
Oh my gosh.
I feel like
I'm out. I quit. I
feel like
you're
twisting what he said.
I can't do it, guys.
You know, I think what you guys need to start doing is sending your scripts over to editing so that they can edit it before you say
yes,
that stuff.
I like that. I like that. Good old Nance. We'll get it all over to her and she can approve everything.
I sent my script over there and they sent it back and they said you need to.
It was all just red-lettered. Yeah.
They sent me all these job listings.
I sent my script and it said, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
That's what my script said.
On the bottom it said, signed, Nate Heitzig, in all caps. Yeah.
No, it's going to be fun. We've got an hour, and we can do whatever we want.
Oh, yeah.
Look
you
at
can.
That.
You sure can. It is Shock Therapy Live.
I'm going to do what I want.
We got a lot of new listeners, guys. There was a whole new relaunch this Sunday for Easter Sunrise Service. We kicked off a brand new radio station. Welcome, if you're brand new to Star 88, it is our one-hour call-in program.
Ooh, yeah, I didn't think about that. We got to give them like a little warning.
I have been warning people all morning long about you. So
about me?
I've said, hey, look, Pastor Nate, he's a little irreverent. It's called Shock Therapy Live. He's quite shocking.
Yeah. Wow.
Shocking.
Thanks, Steve-O. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, friend. Judas. Judas over
I really like just sitting over here in the corner and watching you guys.
Watching us duke
just
it
hash
out.
It out.
Thanks, Peter.
It's
right.
Great.
Well, it's the all new Shock Therapy Live.
You're Thomas.
In this corner, we have Pastor Nate Heitzig. Did you bring your gloves? Are we starting this off with an actual fist fight?
I just did my hair, and so I don't want my headphones to rest on my hair, so I'm holding my headphones
up. I just won that fight.
Yeah. So. Just like,
but I just did my hair.
No, but seriously, if you are listening, you're new to Star 88.
Yeah.
This show is all centered around talking about what's going on in your life, and so
absolutely.
We can talk about some sensitive subjects. We've talked about medicinal marijuana before.
Yeah.
We've talked about homosexuality.
Cutting.
We've talked about cutting, masturbation, sex. And so if it's something that you don't want any young listeners to hear, then we do encourage you to tune the station elsewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe now would be a good time to tune in to some teaching on our sister station, KNKT.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that a lot of the topics, this is one thing we've talked about, I think that a lot of parents are really scared for their kids to hear about certain subjects, but guess what? Your kids are going to hear about it.
Yeah,
if you're scared for your kids to hear about masturbation and they're in middle school, they're going to hear about it there. And the question is, this is the thing that I always tell parents, do you want your kids to get a Christian perspective on it, a Christian worldview on it, or do you want your kids to get a secular worldview on it? And so everything we talk about here is going to be from a Christian perspective, a Christian worldview.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's good for kids to get exposed to some of these topics.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want my kids to have a Christian perspective. And one thing that really impressed me we had Sean McDowell, and he shared the story about his dad taking he and his brothers and sisters on a walk through Venice Beach. And they were probably about 7 or 8 years old, walking through Venice Beach, and they walked past a giant wall that had the F word written on it in graffiti. And the kid said the word and said, "What does F-U-C-K mean? What does that mean?" And he said the word, and instead of freaking out, Josh sat down and had a conversation with his kids about what sex is, about what it means, and about how the worldview of our day and age perverts it.
Wow.
And so I think that it's really good, no matter what the age is, to give your kids a perspective on Christianity, on the Christian worldview, and about how the secular world today can skew that perspective.
And we've talked about things like this before, as far as, especially when talking about sensitive subjects like sex, how the church responds to that, and looking at statistics, statistically speaking, by the time a child is 8 years old, they have already been exposed to some form of, whether it's soft porn or some form of pornography, whether through television, internet, print, whatever it is. Eight years old.
And I think here's the point. Even if they're not interested in it, they'll have questions about it.
They'll have exposure to it, and they
questions.
Need answers.
Yeah, they need answers.
So that's what we're here for, to Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah, and so this show is a question and answer show. You ask us a question, we answer the question to the best of our ability. And again, it's not a theology show. That's tomorrow.
Yeah,
if you're new to Shock Therapy Live, new to Star 88, tomorrow's Theology Thursday. You can pull out your Bibles, ask all the hard questions, and the smart people will be in the studio, and they'll answer those
today's
questions.
Today's all about relationships.
Yeah, today's all about personal stuff. Yeah. Today's the day to pull out your diaries.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that still in the intro?
No.
That was in the old intro. The old intro said, "So put away your textbooks and pull out your diaries.
Put away your Devos and pick up your diaries."
There we go. That was it.
Yeah.
See, I don't even remember. I listened to that for like 2 years straight, and I don't remember what it said.
Mm-hmm.
Put away your Devos and pull out your diaries.
Legacy.
That one.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And here's the deal. We do tackle sensitive subjects. So maybe it's something that you're not comfortable sharing on Facebook. Maybe it's not something you want to tweet into us. We will take anonymous emails. We will keep them anonymous.
Yes.
We will respect your privacy. You can send them in studio at
unless you're star a celebrity.
88.fm. That's studio at star88.fm. And we've already received a couple questions this morning.
Before we answer a question, you guys want to hear a cool idea that I had?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's serious. And I think it's funny.
I believe you. Yes, I do.
It's not about Shock Therapy Live at all.
No, I know. That's
just about Star 88.
Okay.
Okay, so I was thinking Star 88, we should do something really funny. For April Fool's Day, we should for one day change the format of the entire station and be Star 80s and play just 80s music all day long.
You would love that because it'd be like, was DC Talk 80s or
I don't know.
90s?
I think it's more 90s.
You love DC Talk.
No, not Christian 80s.
Oh,
like Flock
80s.
Of Seagulls, Devo.
Yes. I am down for that.
Like Star 80s. And like just how funny it would be if people tune in the morning expecting to hear the station, Star 80s, bringing you the best of 80s music.
We could do it.
Whip it. Whip it good. Da-na-na-na.
Star 88. It just has to be songs from the year 1980.
No, Star 80s. Star 80s. We just changed the format for one day. And then it's April Fool's. And then like the next day we're like, April Fool's, we're not an 80s station.
I feel like after this year, they might believe it, you know?
That's true.
I just don't know how far that joke would go.
Either way, it'd be
funny. You're thinking about something a year away. Can we focus?
That's
on
how
today?
Far he thinks in advance. He's got.
That's how my mind has to work.
He's an engineer of science and technology.
I'm planning Easter's and Christmases and events a year from now.
Shock Easter's. Therapy Live, Pastor Easter's. Nate Heitzig, Steve-O, and Teo in your AM. We're hanging out with you, and we'd love to answer your questions. We've got a few email questions already. Studio at star88.fm.
Hey, what's the phone number that they can call us on?
It's 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700 if you'd like to be so bold. We do love taking phone calls because then we can ask secondary questions. We can really discuss and it feels more like shock therapy. I like that. Without the shock.
Yeah.
Except for you.
Yeah, it's fun to talk to you too.
Yeah. There
you go. So call us about anything. Maybe you're just maybe you bummed out today. Maybe static went away and you're sad.
Who?
static radio. It died. We killed it.
I don't even know what that is. I think that's 10 bucks you owe our boss now.
No, Resurrection Day, Star 88 came up with a knife and stabbed Static in the throat.
Oh my God!
Good.
Welcome to Shock Therapy.
Good Easter parallel.
Teo, please.
Yeah, but it did it with the love of Christ. Oh, so okay, we're okay. So. Hey, we have a phone call.
Murder's cool with the love of Christ. Is that
man, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. They hung up. They hung up. They probably had something serious to say, and then you're talking about knifing people.
But Doug, who was that? Disclaimer. Why did they call?
Oh, he doesn't even know.
He's production executive.
We have to do it all ourselves.
That we
is,
do?
That is, yeah.
Really? He doesn't do this
he
anymore?
He got bumped up, man. He's got totally different
know that.
Responsibilities.
Can we please answer?
Are you serious? Doug doesn't make phone calls anymore?
Yeah. No, he doesn't take phone calls.
So we don't know what they're calling about anymore.
He hasn't for
this
the last
is something,
like, month.
You guys don't know this, but normally we have Doug answers the calls for us, mm-hmm. and then we find out what the question's about before we actually have to talk to you.
Yep.
So that we don't get like blindsided by like, hey, tell me about Snuffleupagus or something.
I feel like people in Florida are literally dying right now.
Why?
It's Florida. Have you ever heard of Florida's the worst? People in Florida, I'm going to read an email. You ready?
Huh?
Yes, please.
Why are people in Florida dying right now?
Well, it's just where people go to retire.
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Okay. I have
Chip.
A question.
Hey, Chip.
I have a question for Nate and Steve-O. Sorry for the novella in advance.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so
this
here we
go. Serious. Pay
Everybody
attention.
Listen. My question. Backstory is not really necessary for the question, but I know you guys enjoy knowing details and are also pressed for time.
Thank you for that.
Short backstory. Last year, my wife became very terse. Shout out for using the word terse. And hard
You've
to
got
talk
a
to.
Scholar on her hands.
That's right. When we last spoke at the end of June.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness.
She confessed that she now found me detestable because I was closed-minded and rigid in my belief that only Christ can save people. A few weeks later, she had divorce papers drawn up. In December, I found out that she had decided to follow a more naturalistic faith, worshiping the spirits of animals, sort of like early pre-Columbian cultures. 250 days later, she still hasn't finished up the papers for her divorce yet, and I refuse to file against her because I do care very much for her. My prayer every day is that she reconciles with God. My question has a few parts.
Man.
First, when I learned of my wife's conversion, I went to my pastor who sort of shrugged at me and said, "She's lost her salvation. Is this possible?" That's the first question. Second,
oh, that's cool.
Okay, let's instead of asking all the questions, let's take each one at a time.
All right, there you go. That's the one.
So is it possible to lose your salvation? No, it is not. Is it possible to believe that you were saved or to believe you had an experience of salvation while never letting that salvation take root within your life? Yes. So what I would reference you to is to a couple verses. Number one, I would reference you to the parable that Jesus talks about the seeds and the sower. And in this parable, Jesus talks about salvation in an interesting way. He compares it to seeds that a sower sows into a field, and some of them take root, some of them don't, and some of them appear to take root only to wither away. And so he compares a seed that is thrown on rocky soil, and that seed wants to take root, but it can't take root, and it springs up for a little bit, but there's no nutrients in the soil for it to truly grow, and so it dies away. He talks about a seed that is sown in a patch of thorns, and the seed takes up root, it begins to flourish, and then the thorns come in and squelch it out. And so what I talk to a lot of believers about is you have backslidden Christians, I believe, and you have Christians that have never truly experienced salvation. So you have Christians that maybe went forward at an altar call, said a prayer to accept Christ in their heart, but as we've talked about in Shock Therapy Live before, salvation isn't just justification. Salvation is three parts. It is justification, it is sanctification, and it is glorification. Justification is the act where you come forward at an altar call, you are convicted of your sin, you believe that Jesus died on the cross, and so you say a prayer asking Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. But justification is only valid if justification gives root to sanctification. And sanctification is the continual process where a believer is constantly, daily, giving their life over to Jesus Christ. And so if sanctification is not taking place, as a believer, we question whether or not justification has ever truly taken place. And so, you know, really, the question of whether or not a believer is backslidden or whether or not someone has ever truly accepted Christ isn't a question that we can answer. It's really only a question that God knows, and it's only a question that the person who you're talking to can answer for themselves.
Right.
And so whenever I do an altar call, whenever I teach, I always tell people, look into your heart, because only you know what's going on in your life. Are you faking it? Or are you just putting on a mask? Or are you just pretending? Or is your life actually changed? You actually see your life daily growing closer to God or going further away or staying kind of in a lukewarm state, because the Bible says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And so I think a question a Christian has to ask is, am I moving forward? Because if I'm not moving forward, then I've got to look at my heart and ask myself that question of where I'm at.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's the first part.
Okay.
Continuing.
Second, I tend to be very thick-headed and tend to argue myself out of things, but how do you know when God is speaking to you? In December, everywhere I went for 2 weeks, I was confronted with the prodigal son story. I downloaded a Greg Laurie podcast, and for a week straight, it was prodigal son material. A guest speaker at church has us open up to Luke 15. Obviously, God was reaching out here, but I struggle with discerning that still, quiet voice.
Mm.
So that's the question is, how do you know when God is speaking to you?
Well, there's a couple ways that God does speak to you. God does speak to you through the scripture. And so if you're in church and you hear a scripture that you feel speaks to you, that's God speaking to you, because one of the main ways that God speaks is through his revealed word. And his mm-hmm. revealed word is the Bible. And so if you ever are in church, if you're ever reading a scripture and you feel like, man, that's probably speaking to me, it is, because that's God's revealed word. And God uses his revealed word to speak into our lives. Apart from revealed word, we have specific word, where God will speak to people specifically. God will reveal things to people specifically. With that, you got to be a little bit more careful, because I have people all the time say, you know, I really feel like God's telling me to move in with my girlfriend. Well, no, God's not telling you that, because that's contrary to his word, and God's never going to speak contrary to what his word says. So when it comes to God's specific will, God's specific word, you've got to compare it to the scripture and say, does this line up with what the Bible says? Is there anything within this revelation that I feel like I've gotten from God that is against the Bible, or is there anything in this revelation that's new? Because this is where a lot of false prophets come. They say, God spoke to me, and he said that after he went to, you know, after he died in Israel, he came to America. And that's not true, because that's not in the Bible.
Right.
And so that's a new revelation. There is no new revelation. There's nothing new under the sun. And so you got to, number one, see if it lines up with God's word. Number two, see if it's this new revelation that isn't spoken of in God's word, then that's not going to be God's specific revelation to you. And then number three, you've got to see if it lines up with God's will for your life. And so one thing that I always tell Christians to do is, if you want to know the will of God, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and then do whatever you want. And I know that sounds kind of counterintuitive, but if we as believers truly are loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, we are sold out for him, we're walking with him, then the things that we want to do will naturally be the things that God wants us to do. So,
yeah,
that's what I would say.
There you go. It is Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig, Steve-O, and Teo with you. And still, we got... how many more parts?
Okay. One more part.
All
and
right.
Nate, it actually references something that you just talked about. And he says this could be a Theology Thursday question, but he's unable to catch that show. So, I was also thumped multiple times with the parable about sowing seeds on rocky soil, among the thorns, in good soil, so on. What does the seed represent? The book of Jeremiah, this same reference is made, but I've heard the seed is the gospel, it's salvation, it's the Holy Spirit. Also, if someone manages to grow, such as the seed that doesn't put down roots yet springs up, would that person be saved, or only those seeds that yield are they saved? My wife would definitely be one of the seeds that sprang up, but the last 6 years have been heavy on the trauma, death, suicides, legal battles, criminal battles, a tragedy where a church roof collapsed, severely hurting a few of her friends. She also works in law enforcement, which takes a heavy toll. And so that's kind of what this guy's coming from.
Yeah. And so I think we already kind of touched on this, but the seeds that it's referring to there would be salvation within a person is what it's referring to. But whether or not your wife is on the table of someone who has sprung up and been squelched out or choked out by the thorns of this life, or whether or not your wife is a believer who is backslidden, a backslidden believer, that's only a question that really God and she can answer. Now, We are called, the judgment is something that's reserved for only people in the church. So if your wife at one time called herself part of the church, believers around her, including you as her husband, are called to point out inconsistencies within her life and let her know, hey, you call yourself a Christian, or at one time you did, but this is really inconsistent in your life. What it sounds like to me, again, no one can judge the heart but God, but it sounds to me like she probably is a seed who's been choked out by the thorns of this life. And so that's what it sounds like to me based on that story. But again, I don't know her. And again, even if I did know her, only God can judge the heart. But that's what it sounds like to me. And so that passage, it is talking about a seed being part of a salvation. And if a seed is choked out, it is a believer who never took part in sanctification, but just justification. And so that's not true salvation. The Bible does say that once we're in the hand of God, we cannot be snatched out. But I believe to truly be in the hand of God, you've got to take part in all of salvation, not just a part of salvation. You cannot have justification without sanctification. And likewise, you can't have sanctification without justification. A lot of people say, hey, I'm a good person, I go to church, but they've never been justified. Yeah. You can't have one without the other. And so true salvation has to have both parts. If you want to see glorification, you've got to have justification and sanctification.
Man, incredible questions there, and great answers, dude. Thanks, bro. Feel like Theology Thursday there for a second, but great stuff.
Good times.
Yeah, man. If you would like to chime in with a thought, with a question, the phone lines are jammed up right now, but as soon as we'll get to the questions and get one open for you, 505-338-3700 is our phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You can also take part on Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm, or send us an email, studio@star88.fm. Let's go to line one. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, I got a question just real quick. I'll ask the question, and then I'll hang up to hear the answer. It's Pastor Skip just did the Jesus Loves Homosexuals, which he did a great job of explaining, I think, to believers and unbelievers. My question is, I think it's inevitable it's going to happen. We're going to have inevitably a couple come in that's homosexual, maybe holding hands or being affectionate. What do we as the body of Christ or even the pastoral staff, what are they going to do in a situation like that? Yes, we got to welcome, we're a hospital for the sick, but at the same time, what are we going to do as a body to kind of address that when it's going to make other people around uncomfortable? I'll go ahead and hang up and hear the answer. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's a great question. And it's funny. It's actually a question I asked my dad when we started this series. I said, hey, if there's a homosexual couple that we know is coming to the church, you know, what's your stance on that? What's your take on that? Yeah. And he very graciously said, they're more than welcome to come as long as they want to. I'm not going to allow them to serve, but they're more than welcome to come. Because you know what? If it makes people feel uncomfortable, then people need to look into their own hearts.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who come to church that we don't kick out who are in adulterous affairs that you don't know about. There's a lot of people who come to church that are addicted to drugs and alcohol that you don't know about. There's a lot of people that come to church that cheated on their taxes that you don't know about. Yeah. There's a lot of people that come to church that lie to their wife every Sunday night so that they can go play poker that you don't know about. There's a lot of Christians who come that are gluttonous, and after church they're going to go eat as much food as they can stuff into their face that you don't know about. And so sin is present within the church whether we like it or not, because people are sinners. Now, are we going to allow sinners, you know, people who are stuck in a life-altering sin to serve? No, but we will more than happily welcome them into the church, and they can attend church as long as they want. As a matter of fact, it was so funny. At one week, this lady came up who very stereotypically looked like a lesbian. I didn't know. I didn't say anything. But she came up and she was talking about it. And she came up to my dad and she said, Skip, I'm so excited my girlfriend just accepted Christ today. Very interesting conversation. I was like, I was watching. I was like, how's my dad going to handle it?
Right? You're just like, kid in a candy store? Oh, man, I can't wait to see how this
goes.
No,
and he said, I'm so happy to hear that. I'm happy that you guys are coming to Calvary.
Yeah.
And I hope that God will continue to work in your lives and that he'll help you and her to flee from sin. And that's all he said.
Yeah.
He didn't say, well, you know, guys are homosexuals, so no. Because that would have driven them away. They never would have attended it again. And that was before he had even done the Jesus Loves Homosexuals. And so, you know, we never want to as believers, especially as pastors, pick on people for certain sins. And that's kind of been the heart of this series, is there's enough groups that are holding signs that say God hates fags. Yeah. There's enough groups that are posting on Twitter saying, I hope that Muslims burn in hell. You know, there's enough groups that are doing the job of hating unbelievers, right, which really is a terrible job, and it's not a job that anyone should do or is called to do. We're called to love people. And so sinners are more than welcome to come to Calvary, come to church. And I can't speak for any church, because there's probably some church that would say, no, you're not allowed to come to our church, and shame on them.
Yeah.
But Christians are more than, or unbelievers are more than welcome to come to Calvary as long as they want. And we pray that eventually they'll give their lives to Christ. And when they do, it'll be a true conversion, that they'll flee not just from the sin that they have committed, but from the sin that they desire to commit in the future. And so I pray for that couple, you know, the lesbian couple that came forward and gave their heart to Christ. Sanctification is a process,
yeah,
and our prayer is that over time they'd realize, man, that the relationship we're in is ungodly, and I want to love you as a sister in Christ, but I cannot love you as a spouse. I cannot love you as a love interest. And so I believe that that's God's job, though, that God will convict people of the sin in their life, and God will draw them from it, and it's not my place to say, hey, now that you're a Christian, stop doing this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this.
Right.
You know, I think any person who's experienced true salvation experiences the conviction of the Holy Spirit over certain sins in their life, and then God draws them from those sins, and God brings them to a different place. And so that's our prayer as people come to Christ.
Yeah, dude, you know what? And what a great comment on reflecting on your own heart, because how often, whether it's, you know, you're walking into church and there's the guy outside smoking, what's your immediate reaction? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
your immediate response really goes to the heart of your judgment on another people group or on whatever it is that you have against a certain sin. And how telling to put that mirror directly to our face and go, oh, crap.
Yeah, you know what? And when we ask that question, how's it going to make other Christians feel in the church to see homosexuals holding hands? Well, I hope that it makes other Christians care for them. I hope it makes other Christians hurt for them and long to show love to them. I hope that it makes other Christians again look in their own heart and realize, man, before I dare cast judgment upon them, I've got to look at my own life, because I could easily sit there and say, man, how dare they come to church holding their hands when I'm struggling with pornography and masturbation,
right?
Or I'm struggling with not loving my wife the way I'm supposed to, or I'm struggling with you know, not being wise and raising up my kids, or I'm struggling with some other sin.
Yeah.
Look, all sin is level at the foot of the cross, and before we ever dare point fingers at someone else for the sin that they're committing, either inwardly or outwardly, we better take a look at our own lives, because God's going to judge us who are in the church heavier than he's going to judge those who are outside the church.
It's too bad it's only 9:27, because I felt like that was a mic drop answer. Like, you could totally drop the mic and walk out, but you better not, because we still have 33 minutes.
And also, I can't drop this mic. Like, what do I got to
really
do?
You can't.
Bam.
You
carefully put that mic down.
I carefully
slammed this mic on the table.
It's a little expensive there. So
it's actually, like, honestly, what is this mic worth nowadays?
I don't know.
eBay, $5?
It is Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig, Steve-O, and Teo hanging out with you. We would love to chat, man. Maybe you got something on your heart, on your mind. You're dealing with something. You don't know how to handle a situation. That is the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. We're here for you. And most importantly, we want to point you to what God's Word has to say, not just our opinions. So come hang out with us. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Let's go to the line two there. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Yeah, Ben, hey, I had just two questions real quick. I just wanted to get your input on it. So the first one is, I have my cousin staying with me. He's been living with me and my wife probably about November of last year. We brought him in because, you know, he was having problems with drugs, and he lost his marriage. So we brought him into the house, and he's been staying there ever since, but it's just like there's been no effort. I mean, he'll come to church, but then it's like there's nothing that he's really receiving to where, like, anything drastic change in his life that I've seen so far in the, like, 7 months he's lived with me. So I kind of told him, you know, kind of, hey, man, you got to kind of go after this Friday if you don't have a job. You know, I if I wanted to support another person, I would have another child. It's like, and that's realistic. And so it's just, I'm kind of finding it hard because I do feel that guilt. Like, you know, man, well, I know he's gone through a hell of a lot of stuff, and it's like, I get that, but it's like, we all have, and not all of us are making the same decisions he is.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I kind of wanted some input on that, and then And the thing is, man, like, honestly, I've been really just dealing with, like, you know, I lost my best friend. And just kind of with that added on with it, it's just kind of like, man, like, I just keep thinking, like, did I ever do enough to know that, you know, he went to heaven? Or did I ever do enough to know that he did accept Jesus' life? And I know he was a Christian, and I know, but I don't know his personal relationship with God. And it's just finding it hard to struggle. I'm just struggling with that, man. Like, that hurt is something that it's like, God, well, like, what, you know, like, the closest friend I have, and it's like, he's gone too, dude. That's like, lose faith. I just feel like, I just need some input on the situation itself. Like, I want some assurity, I guess, from God. I'm looking for, like, hey, man, he is there. He's in heaven. Give me something, please. Like, what? But if there's nothing, man, I don't know.
All right, man. Thanks for the question. Now, you know, it's tough because we already talked a little bit about faith and a little bit about salvation and the idea of whether or not somebody is in heaven or hell. And obviously, we cannot, you know, pass judgment and say, well, I'll tell you right now, based upon what you're telling me, that guy's in heaven.
Yeah,
really,
you know,
difficult.
You know, drug addiction is something that is so difficult. It's something that's so difficult to deal with. It's something so difficult to pinpoint. And I believe a lot of people who are addicted to drugs are backslidden Christians. And I believe drug addiction is different than outright decision to say, I'm not following Christ anymore, or I don't believe in Jesus anymore, or I'm going to do what I want. I think that there's a difference between being stuck in sin and having a hard time getting out of that sin, and a difference between that and a difference between saying, I'm going to sin no matter what people say, and I'm going to sin because I want to do what I want to do. I think there's a difference there, and I think drug addiction is one of those kind of sins where it's hard to get out of. It's hard to flee, and it's something that you might always struggle with. It's something you might always deal with for the rest of your life. And so in a way, it's much like homosexuality. It's much like lust. People who struggle with those kind of sins, they might struggle with it their entire life. Even though they might not be doing it, they might struggle with it. Yeah. And so in regards to your cousin, I think it was his cousin that he said, correct?
Yeah.
In regards to your cousin, I think that you really can't judge his heart. Now, I think you can look at his actions and you can encourage him on a path. And so rather than saying next week if you don't have a job, I'd kick you out, what I think you should have done when you first invited him to live to your house is give him a plan. Say, hey, here's the plan. It's a 3-month plan. During this 3 months, if you do drugs at any time, you're going to be kicked out. You know, God has grace for you, but I don't have drugs in my home. So if you do drugs, if you're getting high, you're kicked out. I'm here to help you get off drugs. I'm here to help you get your life right. So if you do drugs, you're out. Or maybe even I've heard some people do a 3 strikes, you're out. Look, you got a 3 strikes, you're out policy. Or maybe even say you've got a 1 warning policy. Do drugs once, I'm going to warn you. Second time, you're kicked out. Whatever you feel is right, I would put them on a plan like that. 3 months, no drugs. Then secondly, after that, I'd say within the first month, I want you to try to find a job. I want you to set up job interviews. I want you to go. I want you to get a job within that first month. The second month, I want you to look for a place to live. I want you to be searching. I want you to be finding so that you have this plan so that, you know, that the first month he's finding a job, then the next 2 months he has a job, but he's living at your place. Then by the time that 3 months is over, he's moving out and he's getting a place to live. But set him up on a plan more than just, hey, next week you're out, you haven't found a job. Give him a plan to work towards. Help him with that plan and put him on a path to rehabilitation would be the recommendation that I would give.
Which is helpful for people that are finding themselves in these situations, whether it's with a loved one, a family member, a friend, whatever it is. Setting that up ahead of time, you gotta lay down the ground rules, because as you said, it's tough to 7 months later just be like, hey bro, so 3 days, so two days, all right, you're good, no, okay, but you've been mooching for 7 months. It sounds like one of those when you're tired and your kid's just going crazy and you're fed up and you kind of lash out. That's never okay.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. It's never okay. So I agree wholeheartedly and believe, man, people, you got to set that up. I remember when you moved here,
yeah,
it was
we
cool.
came in and Steve-O was kind of like, yeah, you guys can just stay forever.
Just
and we were actually the ones that said, no, we've got a plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we had had experiences.
That's good.
Where we had had people move in and then they had to stay for much, much, much longer, and it's because there was never a definitive plan.
And now imagine if Mateo would have been like addicted to drugs during that time.
Well, yeah, man. That would have been, I mean, awesome. Like, Brody would have been so stoked. The little baby, he would have been so excited. But anyway, it's any situation, really, any relationship with what does it mean? I would say it's better to go in with a plan.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, that's applicable on so many levels.
Yeah, and so I think that you should have had a plan at the beginning, and I think now, I think you owe it to him and you owe it to yourself to give a plan.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a 3-month plan, even if it's a 1-month plan, that, hey, look, you got 1 more month. During that 1 month time, if you do drugs at all, you're kicked out immediately. Mm-hmm. During that 1 month time, I need you to find a job. I need you to find a place to live.
Yeah.
Or maybe even say, look, if within this 1 month you find a job, I'll extend it to another month so you can find a place to live. Maybe put it on a month-to-month basis. Say, hey, in this first month, you got to stop doing drugs and you got to get a job. If you do those two things, then you can stay another month while you find a place to live, you know, and do it, base it off of that.
There are a few places in Proverbs that Don pointed to actually when they moved out here, and I had... It was interesting because it was like, hey, this is our plan. We got to roll because Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17 says, seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you and they will hate you.
Yep.
And so it was like, hey, there's this proverb that's talking about us being here. So we don't want to be here too long and overstay our welcome because we don't want you to hate us.
And we saw a modern example of this in the show Home Improvement. That's why Wilson never crossed the fence. He would always just look over the fence. And they retained their friendship for like 10 seasons.
Oh, dude, it was amazing.
It was great.
Am I right?
Howdy ho, neighbor.
Wow. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. Maybe you need some advice straight from God's word. Chime in, man. Email your questions now, studio@star88.fm or 505-338-3700. Let's go out to the phone lines. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My husband and I have a question. Actually, he's kind of answered some of my questions already with the last call, but we are friends with a couple from church, and we serve together at Awana on Wednesday night, and they have recently, since marijuana became legal where we live, they have started smoking it again, but they are serving in the church, and since we know about it, we were just wondering, like, what is our responsibility?
Have they brought it into the program on Wednesdays because it's called?
Maybe they're just
Awana,
confused. Did they think there was was there a kidding?
Awana?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Come on, that's great. Oh,
wait, I need to. Sorry, I got an important email I was replying to.
So
I need to hear the question again.
In all honesty, here's the tricky thing. We've talked about this many a times before with the legalization of marijuana. What state do you reside in?
Colorado.
Okay, yeah, so legal where you guys live, and someone in the ministry that they serve with started smoking it because it's legal now. How do you approach that?
This is the thing. There are things that are legal in the eyes of man that are not legal in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion is legal, and yet we would strongly say that that is a sin and that that would not be a thing that Christians should do. There are a lot of things that are legal that aren't permissible. It's legal to get drunk. Is it permissible to get drunk? No. And so that's where I would take the topic of marijuana. Can it be legal to smoke marijuana? Yes. Is it permissible to smoke marijuana in the eyes of God? I would say no, because the difference between marijuana and a cigarette or marijuana and a beer is that if you smoke a joint, you will get high.
Yeah.
If you drink a beer, you won't be drunk. If you smoke a cigarette, you won't get lung cancer. If you might. That's true. I can't say that. Yeah. Disclaimer. Disclaimer.
He is not the Surgeon General.
I am not the Surgeon General. Even one cigarette can give you lung cancer.
Right.
But if you smoke a joint, you will get high. And so that's loud. Can we turn that down?
Yeah, we definitely could turn that down.
And so if you smoke a joint, you will get high.
Yeah.
And so that's where we would take the topic of marijuana to, is that our bodies aren't to be altered by any substance. We're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when you're smoking marijuana, when you're high or when you're drunk, you're not in control of your own body. You do things you normally wouldn't do. Your inhibitions are more free. You're more open to things. You're not yourself.
Right.
And so that's where we would take the topic of marijuana to. Now, again, there's there's always going to be exceptions. Medicinal marijuana, we believe there's a difference there because there can be true medical reasons that I believe marijuana can be prescribed for that can help in the same way that Percocet. You know, if you're on Percocet, man, you're not in your right mind. But if you just broke your leg and you're in extremely severe pain, Percocet can really help you get through that pain. And so I believe there are medical reasons to use a multitude of drugs that would otherwise not be okay to use for recreational use. Mm. And so that would be my argument, is that even if it's legal in the eyes of man, it doesn't mean it's permissible in the eyes of God.
Now, here's right. my secondary question is, are these friends that you're serving alongside, or are they in leadership above you, or what does that look like as far as serving with them?
We're serving alongside them in the children's program, and my husband's pretty sure that at least the father has come high several times.
Oh, wow. And is this something that the leadership is aware of?
I am not sure if the leadership is aware of it or not.
So what I would do is I would have your husband go and talk to the guy one-on-one, mm-hmm. confront him on it. Tell him that it's wrong. Tell him that it's sinful. Tell him that especially he definitely shouldn't be doing it, you know, coming high to serve.
Yeah,
for
especially
sure.
Especially with children.
Yeah,
and, that's
dude.
Crazy.
And I would let him know, and then I would let him know what I would have your husband tell him is that, hey, if this continues on, I'm going to tell the leadership.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let the leadership know because this isn't right.
Right.
I wouldn't just go tell him and then go tell the leadership behind his back, but I would let him know, hey, if this continues, I'm going to go tell the leadership.
Yeah, because maybe it's a situation we don't know where the guy's like, bro, but it's legal, it's perfectly fine, and thinks it's acceptable.
And you got to explain to him why
somebody's
it's not.
Somebody's going to need to set him straight. Yeah,
yeah. And so I would have that conversation with him, have your husband talk to him, let him know that it's not right, that even though it's legal, it doesn't make it okay.
Right.
Have that argument with him because he says, well, it's legal. Okay, well, abortion's illegal. There's a lot of stuff that's legal that isn't right to do.
Yeah.
And so I'd have that conversation with him, and again, let him know if it doesn't get better, then we're going to have to talk to the leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call. Calling from Colorado.
I like Colorado. If I could live anywhere else besides here, it would be Colorado. It'd be Denver. I think Denver's my favorite place in the country.
Was it lost on anybody else that they were serving in Awanas?
I got you.
It was lost on me because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I noticed, Pastor Nate.
They were serving in Awana, and their friend had a problem with marijuana. And that's why I said, is it a pronunciation issue? Like, maybe they didn't understand the poster.
Well,
maybe if
man.
They saw that poster while they were high, there could have been a total, like, total just miss, you know, interpretation there.
I want to make that. Some that clear.
I was tracking with you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
I got you.
It's Shock Therapy Live. The phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. Welcome to it's the all-new Star 88, but you know what? Some cool things hanging out, and one of them being Shock Therapy Live. Get your phone call in right now. 505-338-3700. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Okay.
Thanks for hanging up on us.
Well, we've got an email in.
Okay. I'm used to ex-girlfriends doing that.
Whoa, what?
Just
Why
kidding.
Are you calling
Just kidding. It just seemed like a
no,
seemed
they
like
call
a,
him
well,
and hang up.
Like a
now
clever
it looks
thing
like
to say.
We're going to have another phone call here from Janae in a second. So,
okay.
Can
actually,
you answer that Shock Therapy Live question?
You know what's funny? I never, before Janae, I never had serious girlfriends. Like, I had, like, high school girlfriends before Janae.
Mm. I really, man, if this, okay. Shock Therapy
Don't
Live.
Hang up
Hello.
On us.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling for some help with pornography. I know you guys address this a lot, but I was wondering if I could ask for help in the situation I'm having.
Yeah, let's talk.
Okay.
Are we on speakerphone first? Because it sounds really muffled.
It's kind of muffled.
You're on Bluetooth. I'm driving for work. Sorry.
I understand. It's okay. Hey, at least you're being safe.
Yes.
Don't get a ticket.
I'm trying not to. Oh, no. Okay, I've been with my husband for 11 years, and the entire time we've been together, pornography has been an issue. It's about every 4 months or so, he will look at pornography, and it's always like a big fight between us, and he always says he doesn't want to do it, he would like to stop, but he doesn't know how, and I've tried to help him every way I can think of. I put on the X3 church that you guys talked about before on the computer and things like that, and he always winds up going another route. Last time I put parental controllers on things, I said, let's talk, let's communicate, tell me if you're thinking about it. And he still whipped time my dad to get it on his cell phone because I don't have a controller on the cell phone. And I just, at what point, I guess I'm wondering if there's any point in me continuing to try, if I should be giving up, if this isn't going to change, or if I need to keep fighting with him. I'm just, I don't know what to do anymore. I feel like I'm the only one fighting against him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's a couple things you need to do. Number one, I think, you know, the XXX Church software is great software, but I think the way that it's most effective, and by the way, he might be trying to pull the wool over your eyes, but you can get it for your phone and you can get it for your iPad. Yeah. And what it does is it replaces the Safari browser, and that way you can't use it. The Safari browser, you got to use that browser, and it does the same thing it reports. So number one, you can get it on all your devices. So it should be on all his devices. And number two, he should have some male accountability partners that are on that software as well, not just you. He should have some guys who go to your church that know him and can keep him accountable. He should maybe have a pastor on there, some people that can call him up and put his feet to the fire so it's not just you trying to fight with him about it. Number two, I think that there are some great classes that can be really helpful for him. It sounds like he might have an addiction that might warrant him going to a sex addiction class. Sex addiction class, despite what some people believe, isn't just for people who are addicted to sex. Right. It's for people who are addicted to pornography. It's for people who are addicted to a multitude of sexual sins. Mm-hmm. And so he might need to go to a sex addicts class. And that would be something that I think that he might benefit him as well. We have some great classes at Calvary, I know that help men who struggle with lust, and that might be something that could be helpful for him as well. But I think there needs to be a few things that need to happen within that, and I think it all needs to start with you and your husband going to a pastor, going to a counselor. Where do you live?
I live here in the Albuquerque area.
Okay. Well, here, if you live here in the Albuquerque area, do you attend a church regularly?
I do. My husband is actually not a believer.
Okay.
I met him when I wasn't a believer, and so it wasn't an issue for me at the time. But he's always been very supportive of me going to church, but he's not a believer. And I actually did take him to counseling with a couple of people from our church, from my church, at one point. We had to stop when he got deployed to the Middle East. And when he came back, he said, "I'm good, I'm fine, we don't need to do it, it's okay." But obviously, it's been happening since, so it's still an issue.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would have a list of things that you need for him to do as far as the XXX Church, maybe having other accountability partners, maybe going to a sex addicts class, and maybe sitting down and meeting with a marriage counselor. It doesn't even – now, this is the thing. If he's uncomfortable going to a church marriage counselor, you can still go to a Christian-based, a true licensed counselor. There are licensed marriage counselors in Albuquerque that do a really, really great job. There's a couple guys that I could recommend to you. Stan Easton is a great counselor. Danny Schumann is a great counselor. There's a couple of them there in Albuquerque, and there's even more that I don't know off the top of my head that can be really, really great. They're licensed counselors. I would say, I'd give him a path. Say, number one, I need you to go to a marriage counselor with me. We need to talk about this. Number two, I need you to get a couple more guys on the XXX Church software. Guys who are going to hold you accountable. They're not going to say it's okay, no problem, but guys who are going to hold you accountable. And number three, I need you to consider going to a sex addicts class to get rid of this problem. And then I would say, if you don't do those things, I'm not going to divorce you, but I'm definitely going to separate from you for a time. And the Bible does talk about that, separate for a time so that you guys can both pursue God. And he's not a believer, and so he's probably not going to pursue God, but you separate for a time to basically let him know, look, this behavior that you're doing isn't okay, and you can't be truly in a relationship with me and be addicted to this vice. And there's got to be active steps in your life to get rid of this vice. And I know that there are some pastors who I've heard say, well, you know, pornography is sinning in your heart, and that's adultery in your heart, so that's you can still divorce somebody for that. But I don't believe that's true. You know, the Bible also says in that same passage that if you look at someone, you hate them, you've committed murder, but you can't be tried for murder for hating somebody. somebody. And so there's a difference between sin in your heart, and there's a difference between sinning, you know, overtly physically. And so I don't believe that it's grounds for divorce, but I do believe it's grounds for separation, and I do believe it's something that needs to be taken seriously and dealt with in a very swift manner, and be dealt with from multiple angles.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
And I wish there was something, you know, I really do. It's one of those sins. It's much like alcohol addiction. It's much like drug addiction. That there's not a 1-2 step to get rid of it. And so I wish there was something I could give you that says, man, if you do this, you're going to get him out of pornography, or if you do this, it's going to wake him up. There just isn't one of those things for this kind of a vice, for this kind of a sin. And so the approach that you've got to take is by getting other people around you to help you keep him accountable, get other people around you that know what's going on, and that's the only way that you can see any kind of a breakthrough.
Well, here's hoping we can get something figured out. It's been really hard for a lot of years. It really has.
Man, I'm so sorry that you've had to deal with that. So again, I think the first step is calling up one of those biblical counselors, one of those Christian counselors who's a licensed counselor. Again, Stan Easton is a good guy, or Danny Schumann is a good guy. Both of those guys are good counselors. Call one of them up. See if they'd be willing to meet with you guys, and then let your husband know. Say, hey, here's my... If you want this to work, and again, I'm not going to divorce you, but I will separate from you. But if you don't want that to happen, this is what I need you to do, and this is what I need to happen. And then you know, see what happens from there.
Thank you so much for the call.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's
505. Dude, they've been jammed today.
I know they have. I know we got email questions to get to, phone
call. We should start asking people, new listener or old listener, when they call in.
I know, right?
I'd be interested to find that out.
Yeah. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Great. You know, first, before I just have a question, but before I get to it, I just wanted to say thank you guys for all you do. You guys are amazing, and I just want to pray blessings over you guys for continued success and health and happiness, because you guys are amazing.
Thank you so much.
We're very thankful.
Wealth, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So my question is this. My dad had an aneurysm about a month and a half ago, and the good Lord sought to heal him miraculously. He's amazing. He's out and about, and it's like it never even happened. But I really feel the Holy Spirit pressing on me that... one of the ways, you know, because I feel like I need to give thanks more than just through worship and through prayer, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, well, you know, God saved him so that he can save him. Because my dad's always been like, we were all raised in a Catholic church, and so, you know, we kind of all know God, but they don't have the relationship that I have with my God, with my Jesus. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit is wanting me to... you know, kind of work with him and try to get him to where he can start his walk with the Lord. And I just kind of feel like I don't know where to start with that. And so I thought maybe you guys could give me some, like, here's some books or do this or do that. And, you know, of course, I'm still praying for him every day and talking to him about it. And he's very open to it. So I just don't know really where to start.
Now, what's his past? Did he grow up in the church? Has he ever claimed to have a relationship with God?
Yeah, but he's kind of the way I was before I, you know, got saved. Like, we all know God, we all know Jesus, but he's like, well, it's my God. It's a relationship between me and my God. My God understands me, and sometimes my God's a, you know, a son of a bee, or, you know, and he's real rough around the edges, and he does believe in Jesus, and he does believe that Jesus died for our sins, but he's always done it on his own terms. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always been like, well, you know, God's going to love me regardless, and I'm like, which is true. I get that, but I said, you know, you're not following what the Lord wants you to do, you know, by, you know, cussing and believe me, we all do it. But you know, his heart's not in it the way I wish it would be. Like, my fear was when he was in the hospital in the ICU, is that, you know, if he did die, I couldn't say for sure that, you know, when I go to heaven, he's going to be there.
Well, you know, I think the place to start is to ask him directly. I would say, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life? Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? And see what he says. And if he says no, then that's a big springboard to say, Well, I want you to know you've always said that God loves you and God does love you, but there's going to be a lot of people that God loves that aren't going to go to heaven. And the Bible says that there's salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that there will be many that will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did I not do many good things in your name? And I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And so if he says he believes the Bible, if he says he believes in God, then I would use what the Bible says. And so I'd be ready to give an answer, you know, when he says those kind of things. But I would ask him that question and say, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? Because that's the only way that salvation is found, is through the name of Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no other name than the name of Christ. And so I would really ask him that, find that out, and then that should open up a springboard to talk to him. And then I would also ask him, say, hey, Dad, would you be willing to start coming to church with me on Sundays? Just go to church. We'll pick a service. We'll go together. I just think it'd be great. Don't even approach from the biblical standpoint of, hey, you should go to church. Approach from the standpoint of, hey, I think it'd be a great time for you and I to bond and for you and I to just grow closer. Would you be willing to, you know, every Sunday go to church with me, and then I'll take you to lunch afterwards. I'll get you lunch and see if he'd be willing to do that. And then the prayer is that through the teaching of the Word of God, his life will begin to change and be transformed as well.
Man, okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Does that help you
thank
out?
Thank you, guys. Yes, so much. Right and thank on. You guys so much. And I just pray you guys have a blessed day and be
you
blessed.
Too. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so
you.
Much. All right. God bless you.
Man, we are just about out of show, which stinks. Is it a quick email question or is this a big one we should wait for next week?
Well, we've got another phone question, too.
I know.
I think we always say we should take phones first.
Okay, do the phone.
Oh, man. All right. Literally 2 minutes. So
2 minutes.
Fastest got question better. And answer. Welcome
we'll
to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, sorry. I'm asking you guys to repeat yourself, but I'm on the road to Farmington, and it broke up, and one of the most important questions we had in our Bible study is the homosexuals, and you guys were doing a great explanation of it about how to love and treat them as Christians, and it totally broke up because I'm on the road, and I was just hoping you could recap that, because it's something that I think we as Christians really struggle with.
Can I give you a resource? star88.fm. That's our website, star88.fm. And this show is podcast for free, so you can download the podcast and hear the show in its entirety, so you won't lose anything in a 60-second summation.
And actually, you can even listen to it with your connect group, with your small group if you guys want to. So
absolutely.
That's honestly the best option, because we went pretty in-depth on that.
Yeah,
so.
We got about 60 seconds left to show, so I don't want to cut you short. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
star88.fm. Thanks, bro.
Yeah. There you go. star88.fm/shocktherapylive if you'd
like
to download the podcast.
Dude, what a good show. We got tons and tons of questions.
And we end it with star 80s for you.
If the amount of response we got on Shock Therapy Live is a correlation to how excited people are about Star 88, then it's pretty good.
I know! I'm stoked, man. You can download the podcast. It is available.
I had such a hard time getting that out, too. I was like,
Star88.fm. That's it for us. Coming up next, Middays with Mitch. It's What If Wednesday. What if you were given a theme song? What would you do with it, and what would it be? You can get to Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm. Nice.
It's the way I just said what I said is a correlation how smart I am that I'm stupid.
But we love you anyway.
Well said.
Sometimes you have good answers. There you go.
Sometimes.
All right.
Most of the times I'm just Nate, according to Steve-O, this irreverent jerk who might say really mean things.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's fine,
it's
Judas.
It's mostly that bad. All right. Until next time, it's Shock Therapy Live.